Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Well, Pam, you are so gracious to come back with us again today. We had you last year talking about Connections Homes. And, you know, I just learned so much last year talking about Connections Homes. We learned that 97% of youth who age out of the foster system end up in poverty. Mm-hmm. You just taught us so much and really opened our eyes to kids aging out of the system. And it really helped set us up for the work we're doing at Sin Relief in Puerto Rico, kids age out at 14.
Wow.
You know, so we've learned so much of you from you. But listen, I tell everyone about Connections Homes. I tell everyone about Battle Weary. And that ministry is really growing. Just a quick look on Facebook, and it's evident that things are moving because I know you are busy. Give us an update, because I know that the growth has been tremendous at Connections Homes.
Oh, absolutely, Lynette. Thank you so much for having me back. It's my pleasure to be with you.
We love having you here.
Oh, my gosh. I love it here. So, Connections Homes, we are moving into our sixth year as a ministry, and we just we're expanding in Georgia into South. We're hiring for South Atlanta and into the Rome, Georgia area.
That's great.
Yeah, it gives us coverage of over 60 counties in Georgia, but those 60 counties account for about 75% of the population of aging out youth. So we're really in that phase of the organization that not only is the need there, but they're aware of us, and we have kids every day calling to say, can you find me a mentoring family?
I remember you saying that. Just they call asking for help. And it's just such a great way to step up, especially for empty nesters, and say, yes, we will help you get through adulthood.
Oh, absolutely. Most of our mentoring families are empty nesters.
Yeah.
I mean, we have some younger families too, but you know, you're sitting in church and you're hearing the pastor preach about foster care.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, man, I just got my kids off to college.
I know.
I definitely don't think I want to go back to elementary school again. But then you can hear a message about the opportunity at Connections Homes.
Right.
And you think, I do still have that to give.
Yes.
I can do for another young person the same as I do for my college kids. Be there, show up with cookies every once in a while, encourage them on a test. Help them with a resume.
Yeah.
So a lot of our families fall into that demographic. And we just opened our very first office in Dallas, Texas.
I saw that. Yeah.
So our first replication outside of Georgia is happening in Texas.
That is so exciting.
I'm so
excited. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
There's
about 1,200 kids a year that age out in Texas.
Wow. Wow. Well, I know, Steve, and you have raised a large family.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve and Pam Parrish have been married how long?
We have been married 29 years in September.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. You're about to push the big 3-0.
We are. We've got a trip booked. It's a cruise.
Yay.
So we're kind of, and it's out of Italy.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
It'll be okay.
It'll be okay by then.
Yeah.
It's next year. We're doing a Holy Land cruise. So it starts in Italy, goes through Greece, and then we end up in Ephesus and Jerusalem. So super excited.
Good
about
for
that.
You guys, you deserve it, because I know you've raised seven girls.
Eight girls.
Wow.
Yes.
Tell me how the Lord did that, how he brought y'all together.
Okay. So, well, my husband and I met at Walmart when we were 16 years old, and we got married at 19. We're from Kentucky. That's what you do. You marry your high school sweetheart, and we had our first daughter at 24. And we medically, I'd had two miscarriages,
right.
And they told me that I wasn't going to be able to have children. So she was a miracle. Her middle name is Faith.
I love it.
But I almost died when I had her. Like, literally, they almost lost me. So my doctor said, we're not going to do that again. And we just medically could not have any more children. So we went on about life. And when Kristen was about 11, we had moved to Atlanta, and we found out about older kids in foster care. I say all the time, I don't know how I lived my whole life without knowing.
I agree.
That,
yeah,
but I did.
I remember when the light bulb came on for me, like, we were already in the midst of adopting, like, there are 500,000 foster kids in our nation.
Yeah. I don't know how. I mean, I just lived, I guess, under a rock.
Yeah.
And but when I found out, I remember I walked out to the garage and told Steve, you know, did you know that there are kids Kristen's age in foster care that don't have parents that are available for adoption? And he didn't even hesitate. He was like, what do we need to do?
Oh, wow.
And so we signed up for classes, and we were one and done. We were going to go adopt a sibling for Kristen, and so we finished our classes in 2007, And our first daughter, Heather, was 6 months younger than Kristen, so they're the same age.
Perfect, mm-hmm. Yeah.
She came into our family that year. We've actually, what's interesting is we found her picture on the online registry on 7707. I feel like God was setting me up. I should have recognized something there.
He's going to give you seven more. Yeah.
But so that's, we started there, and then I got involved, and we ended up with a 15-year-old coming about a year later. And then our next five came after the age of 18.
The next five.
Yeah, the next five. So we had four come from random circumstances at 18, and then one 24-year-old out of Connections Homes.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, about a year ago, I picked up a copy of Battle Weary, and I'd heard about it, and I'm always reading books. People are always sharing things with me, especially at foster care and adoption. But friend, it's been a balm to my soul.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that.
No, really. And everyone I've shared it with, especially in seasons of weariness, because this young adult thing from trauma is not for the, it is just not for the faint of heart. My copy is, like I told you all ago, it's all like an old Bible. It's all marked up, and kind of, it's all bent and got all these different colors in it. And it's full of personal notes. But the Lord continues to use you to speak to my heart and so many that I've shared it with.
Oh, thank you.
So I knew we had to get you back. I know we've already had you once, but Kevin and I use that YouVersion Bible app to read the Bible through in a year to challenge each other. And so I was so excited to see that they've added the 8-day Battle Weary for Parents on the Bible app.
Yes. So they reached out to me and invited me to produce reading plans. I have three devotionals, Ready or Not, and Battle Weary Parents, and The Gift. So far, Ready or Not and Battle Weary Parent are both on the Bible app right now on YouVersion. The Gift is coming in a couple of weeks.
Now, is The Gift your newest?
Yes, it's the newest. And it's a study through James chapter 1.
Oh, can't wait.
Because we kind of start at 127, which is pure and undefiled religion before God our Father. And that's great that we start there, but that's the last verse in that chapter. And you don't start at the end. You have to go back to the beginning.
That's right.
And it starts at Count It All Joy.
Yeah.
When you suffer trials of many kinds. So I think God, in preparing us for this call into foster care and adoption, into to walking alongside the broken and hurting, the first 26 verses tells us the type of person that we have to become, that his gift to us is our transformation into his likeness. And it's through pure and undefiled religion that we're transformed. So that's the gift.
The book of James is so precious to me, always has been. And we were going through just a tough struggle. And one of my children, several of mine are very sensitive to when mom's struggling. Mm-hmm. But one is really quiet about it, but she's very in tune and we're super close. And she just came to me one day, well, it was on my birthday this past year. And she said, Mom, I've got a gift for you. Mm. And I'm like, oh, no. I'm always saying, don't buy for me. You have your little job. Don't buy. She said, no, Mom, I have a gift for you. And Pam, she just starts beautifully quoting the book of James for me.
That's so sweet.
Man, and I needed it. Like, what ministers to your soul like God's word?
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
And that this precious one that God brought into our family through adoption, the Lord knew that day, he saw that day coming that, you know, he pressed upon her heart to do that. What a gift that was
for
me.
That is a gift.
Listen, you have entitled that book perfectly for me, and so I'm excited to jump into it. Well, in the book form of Battle Weary Parents, you share in the intro, and this is what I love about you, that the Lord had you live every single day of every single word that you wrote. Mm. Can you tell us what you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, Battle Weary Parents, that's a hard, it was a hard 30 days. I mean, it wasn't a calendar 30 days, right? It was a season of, well, several seasons of our life and our family journey that were just excruciatingly hard. There were moments that I would go before the Lord and literally have no words to pray.
Yeah.
Because my heart was just so heavy and so hurt. And I didn't know some days what my next step was going to be. Like, I'm looking at, and at one point we had six kids in our home. That's the most. We've got eight daughters, but the most we've ever had at home is six at one time, just because of their ages. But at this point, we had six kids in our home, and all of them had experienced some sort of trauma. And it was just so hard. It felt like an uphill battle every day. And I remember going to the Lord and just saying, Lord, I'm so battle weary.
Yeah.
I'm just so tired. And the Lord said, You need to write this down. Right. And I do, and my devotions do tend to come out of my personal journaling and time with the Lord. So I started putting together this 30-day devotional for parents that are just in crisis. And, you know, I've heard it's obviously written for foster and adoptive parents, but I've heard from other parents that have kids that, you know, maybe running away or drug issues or whatever they're going through. And they're like, we haven't fostered or adopted, but we're in crisis. And this has really, really helped me to position my heart where it needs to be.
Yeah. And the Bible app really makes that clear that it's just for families in crisis.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, obviously I'm a foster and adoptive parent, so right. I talk through that lens, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, this could be any kid.
Absolutely.
To any parent.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, there's something about when it's your kid and you have the stewardship responsibility that the Lord gives us on this earth. And I don't want to mess them up, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to mess up our kids.
Yeah.
But more importantly than not messing them up, I just don't want to see them suffer.
Right.
And there's something about just carrying that around that it gets really heavy.
Yeah.
And if we're not careful, it can weigh us down and take over.
It can, yeah.
And so that's what battle weary is. Battle weary is just really 30 days of going to the Lord in moments when I couldn't take the next breath.
Yeah, yeah. And I love the way you put this, because I did an in-depth study years and years and years ago before we ever started adopting on spiritual warfare. Mm. And it was when Kevin Passard in Louisville, he taught at our church, and we had other people who'd written books on it. They were teaching on Wednesday night. I just learned volumes.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I know you agree with me, and you even share in the book, we're in a spiritual battle for the hearts and mind of our children.
Yeah.
And when you see it as spiritual warfare,
mm-hmm.
it changes the engagement, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think at one point I recognized, my eyes were open to just how hard the enemy was fighting.
Yeah.
To own my children.
How much he hates children.
Yes. And
you know?
How much he wanted to destroy our family from the inside out. And if he could win at dividing us or causing us to be emotionally unhealthy or against one another, if he could win in that way, he was going to. So when I recognized that, I realized that, first of all, the Bible's very clear, this is a spiritual warfare.
Right.
Our battle's not with flesh and blood.
Right.
That I had to double down on my efforts and just recognize who the real enemy was.
Yeah.
And do that battle with him. And I think there's one day that I share in Battle Weary that I couldn't. I was so angry.
Yes.
And so frustrated and so tired and just crying. And I had one of those moments with the Lord where you're just brutally honest.
Right.
And, you know, just basically said, I don't know. I don't know how to do this, God. You can't ask this of me. You can't require this of me.
Yeah.
And just very quietly in my spirit, I remember hearing, what did I give for you?
Mm.
And I thought, oh, I know you gave your one and only son for me, but I don't have that in me. Like, I don't know that I have that level of sacrifice in me. Mm. I just think I was at the end of my rope. So I went home that day and I called three friends. And up until that point, we had kept, not that we were hiding what was going on in our family, but you just don't go talking.
No, they're sharing and then they're sharing.
Right.
And you know, the Lord gives you a discernment about that.
Right.
Know?
So we were trudging through. We
yeah.
weren't reaching out to anybody, but the Lord impressed on my heart to call three people. So I called three of my closest friends and I just said, look, I'm angry right now and I don't even know that I have the words to pray. So I'm just asking you to pray. I'm asking you to cover our family. Here's what we're dealing with. And I listed it off. And I said, I have to use my energy when I wake up in the morning to be a mom.
Mm.
Because just being present as a mom is taking everything I have, every single minute of the day. I don't have time to war in prayer. And I don't have the words. And you know, they did.
Yeah.
they just, I remember getting texts in the morning, texts at night. They would call. We had meals show up.
Oh, like, Pam, that's, you know, just huge.
You just, yeah. And it was just from that vulnerability of finally just saying, this is where I'm at and I need you guys. And I want you to know, within 3 weeks of that phone call, miracles happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it was all because we fought it as a spiritual warfare.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we do fight it on our knees. Mm-hmm. We absolutely do. And there are times when you just absolutely have to have that support.
Yeah.
We talk about that a lot here on the podcast, that we need community and people we can trust. And we have to use discernment in that. But so grateful that the Holy Spirit led Paul to say, when you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes yep. for us. Because there have been weary moments in parenting. There was weary moments when my daddy was dying and we were caretaking him at home. Mm-hmm. I just said, Lord, I got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you do come to that. Like you said, you called it the end of your rope, but it absolutely is a spiritual battle.
Yeah. Well, and the Bible's very clear that it's in our weakness that he's made strong.
Yeah.
And I think we read that and it's a feel good sound. It sounds good verse to post on your Instagram. But what the depths of that really are, like when you come to the end of yourself, when there's nothing left to give, And you don't have a choice but to rely on God. He shows up in the most beautiful, unexpected ways that you don't see right then, but you can look back in hindsight. I can look back over our story now and just say, wow, what a beautiful tapestry of God's grace and mercy in times when maybe I wasn't showing the most grace and mercy, but it was in my weakness that he came alongside me and shored us up, brought the right people, the right teachings, the right podcast episodes, all of those things into my moments and helped me to survive and helped me to keep breathing. And we have great relationships with all of our kids. And I know that the relationships that I have today with my adult children who don't live under my roof,
mm-hmm.
The foundation of those was built on my knees.
Yes.
When they were 16 and I wasn't sure I was going to survive another day as their mom. And yeah.
One of the first verses that you share, I love the psalm. There have been times when I've been in just a rough spot. You know, I had no control. Well, I have no control anyway. But at the moment, it's very evident. You know, you can't control outcomes. You can't control other people. And I just sit and read through the psalms. And our pastor taught us at our, you know, at church, like when you're out of words, pray the psalm to the Lord. But one of the first ones you share, Psalm 73:26, and you say, my flesh and heart may fail.
Mm-hmm.
So we can just say, when it happens, may fail, right? God is the strength of my heart, and he's my portion forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the very first things that you share in Battle Weary.
Yeah.
Other than the Lord's called me to live every single day of every single word of this book, and my heart and flesh failed.
Yeah,
but
they
the
did.
Lord
many times.
Was my strength.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, and it's just when you reach those moments, it's easy for the enemy to lie to us and tell us that when our heart and flesh fail,
mm-hmm.
that we have failed and our game is over.
Yeah, and he's a liar.
That's mm-hmm. not true. When our heart and flesh fail, the Lord is our portion and our strength. And I think so many times we beat ourselves up because I made mistakes.
Yeah.
When you're tired, your game is off and you're going to make mistakes. So I made mistakes and I've had more than my share of conversations with my girls where I've had to say, I'm very sorry.
Will you forgive me?
Will you forgive me? I missed that.
Mm-hmm.
But even in those things, there's healing there. And we have to quit walking around thinking that we have to know all the answers, and just be present. And be grateful for another day with our kids and being able to show up in their stories and being mindful of the resources that God can bring in our path, even in those big moments when you don't know what to do, what the next breath to take is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really appreciate you calling that out, to just be so incredibly transparent, to drop the mask. I'm just had written some of this in our notes for today, but just the Holy Spirit's obviously leading this conversation. I love it. But finally admitting that it's okay to have those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do well.
Mm-mm.
You know, I had all the training. I thought I was ready when this hit, but it's never the chapter in the story that you never, it never looks like that you think it's going to. Like, okay, if this happens, we'll handle it this way. Or if this happens, you know, like you say in the book, you say that a soldier's never really ready for the war.
No.
you know, they're prepared, you know, they're trained and they're given the head knowledge and they're given the physical training. But I think that's so true.
Yeah. I mean, if you imagine, like, you know, you go through all this training as a soldier,
yes,
right? And then you're called to war. And the thing that they can't properly train you for in war is that maybe there's a moment when the artillery's flying. You don't know, one, if you're going to survive literally, physically, the next moment. But you may not know where your next meal's coming from. The foxhole is cold. There's bugs. There's, you know, like...
You may be wounded.
You may be wounded.
Yeah.
There's so many things that happen. And I think a lot of times when I look back at my journey with my kids, I think about that, you know, I had training, I had read the books, I felt like we had a great 11-year-old daughter who was a straight A student.
We got this.
We were good parents. Yeah. We had this parenting thing down.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I say often to people, there's really not an issue that we haven't faced with our kids aside from one of them succeeding at taking their own life.
Yeah.
That we've kind of walked through. In foster care, they give you this sheet of paper where you kind of mark what issues and behaviors you don't want to deal with. Well, every one of them that we mark that we don't want to deal with, we've dealt with.
You're welcome.
Right. Yeah. So it's been hard. And we realized very quickly that we don't have this parenting thing figured out, especially when you're parenting kids from hard places.
Yeah.
Because there's so much about trauma, so much about our fight, flight, and freeze mechanisms in our brain. So much about how our kids respond to simple acts of love sometimes that I didn't know how to deal with. I wasn't equipped for that. And the foxhole was lonely.
Yeah.
In many days of our journey with our kids. But God showed up every single time. And I did reach that place where I was battle weary. I was tired. I just wanted to go back to normal, whatever normal looked like. I heard a friend one time say, normal's just a setting on a washing machine.
That is exactly right.
Even if we could have gone back to some semblance of normal, it wouldn't have been normal because we were changed already. God had already intervened in our story. So there's no going back. There was only going forward. So, yeah, it's just when you get into these places and you don't see it coming.
Right.
And we do tend to think that we've got it together more than we do, and dropping that facade and just being real, first of all, with God.
Yeah.
That's why a devotion, a daily time with the Lord. I do a lot of praying in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Often I'm driving between meetings and I'm just like, okay, God, we've got to talk about this.
Right. Practice the presence.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I think those are the things that keep you breathing one moment to the next when you really are like wondering if you're going to survive and if there's going to be a light at the end of this dark tunnel sometimes.
Right. And, you know, and just real, I was going to ask you as we end this, as we end today, let's talk to the family that's just ready to give up. But you've kind of began addressing that. But you say this is a sprint and not a marathon. Mm. And I think so many of us thought all the work we did and all the paperwork to bring these children into our family, that was the hard part. But that is just scratching the surface of the beginning. Because like you said, it is a marathon. I mean, it is a long sprint, not a marathon.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, one of my girls at one point just had these horrific behaviors that were going on. And I remember that I was praying about it to the Lord. I was actually having quite the pity party before God. And he showed up in that moment and said, "Who told you that you get to write her story?"
Wow.
And first of all, he's a horrible guest at a pity party.
Mm.
He turns over tables, does all kinds of things,
wrecks
you. But, you know, he brought me to that scripture in Hebrews that says God is the author and the finisher of our faith.
That's right.
And none of us as parents or humans would take credit for anyone's salvation. Jesus did that on the cross. But as parents, we want to take credit of our kids' finishing. We want to take credit for where they're going to go in life.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, he just taught me a simple lesson that he loves my kids more than I do.
Yeah.
And this particular daughter, who at the time was just going through so much, she ended up pregnant at 17.
Mm-hmm.
She's now the mom of our 4 grandbabies.
And that's the reward.
That's
right there.
The reward. Yeah. But I look at her story, and being a mom was her redemption.
Yeah.
And she is the best mother.
Man, I hear that so often. I've even seen it, you know, in our extended family as well. Yeah.
And I wouldn't have chosen that for her.
Right.
But if you had asked me to write her story at that moment, I would have chosen college. I would have chosen, you know, like there's so many things that I would have been like, no, that you will have a better life if you do 1, 2, and 3.
And that absolutely includes a college degree. And that includes doing what you following our plan.
Right.
Yeah.
But her plan was something totally different.
That's right.
And her life and her marriage and her children, they're beautiful.
Wow, Pam.
Beautiful.
Well, when I say that's the reward, I mean that, listen, grandchildren, you have four.
They are the reward.
They are the reward. We have six, and I tell you what, they're just wonderful.
I love my grandbabies.
I know you do. You always share about them, and anytime you share just a, you know, a bio or whatever, you include those four grandchildren. Yeah. So I just love that. I do the same. Well, I cannot recommend your resources enough.
Oh,
and so I just want to tell everyone to go to PamParish, what is it, .org?
.com.
Mm-hmm. Go to PamParish.com and get a lot more resources. But if you will hang tight with us, we would love to continue recording because we are just getting into this topic of just being weary as parents. And we'd like to continue talking with you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You have been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.